I continue yesterday's discussion, present some of the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, because tomorrow is the auspicious day of his Avirbhav Tithi Mahotsav. Om Angana Timirandasya Angananjana Shurakaya Chakshuram Naritamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himavadivya Chavi Sundaraya Tasmai Maha Prema Rasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Mancha Kalpa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Titanam Bhavanivyo Vaishnavivyo Namo Namaha. We mentioned something yesterday about the fight between Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva and how they were both using bows, and Vishnu's
Sharanga entered into that bow that was produced by Vishwakarma, and Vishnu defeated Lord Shiva.
And then that bow actually came into the dynasty of Janak Maharaj. So we'll discuss that, and then the marriage of Sita with Lord Ram. After Ram's fight with the demons Maricha and Dushana, Vishwamitra did not bring the boys directly back to Ayodhya. Instead, he told them, there is going to be a big fire sacrifice in Mithila. King Janak was ruling. So Vishwamitra said, a great sacrifice and all the rishis and pundits will be there. I will take you there so you can see it. A description of how the king of, how Mithila got the name Mithila, and how Janak got the name Janak. Janak, King Janak, as you know, is the father of Sita Devi. Vishwamitra's ashram, now known as Lucknow. And from there they went up to Mithila. Mithila is the country of Janak Maharaj. It is known as Mithila because long before Janak, there was one king in the Ikshvaku dynasty. He asked the Kula Guru of the Ikshvaku dynasty, Vasishtha Muni, if he could perform a yajna. And Vasishtha Muni said, yes, I will perform that yajna, but first I have to go to Indraloka and do one yajna there. Before Vasishtha Muni returned to this king of the Ikshvaku dynasty, that king, he engaged some other Purohit and they performed the yajna. Vishwamitra returned and he said, what? You didn't wait for my return? I told you I would perform the yajna. Why are you so impatient? So then, Vasishtha is the Kula Guru, not Vishwamitra, Vasishtha. So then Vasishtha said, why are you so impatient? He said, I curse you to become near Deha. You'll be near Deha. You'll lose your body. You'll be without a body. So then the king of the Ikshvaku dynasty, he was also very powerful, he cursed Vasishtha to become near Deha. Now there's a long story how Vasishtha was wandering here and there, and he came in contact somehow with some rishis and sages, and they put him into a pot. And there was another sage in that pot. It was, what was it? Agastya, yes. Agastya Muni was also in that pot. And later, they both were born as pot brothers, so to speak. And Vasishtha was known as Kumbha Muni. He says Kumbha Muni. So Kumbha Muni means that sage that was born from the pot. So the king of Ikshvaku, he died. I mean, he was near Deha, so he was wandering around, eventually gave up his body. He went to the heavenly planets. But somehow he left some body behind. Now his successors, they were thinking the saints and rishis of that region where he was ruling, they were thinking how to carry on the dynasty. So then they took his body, of this king of Ikshvaku, Ikshvaku dynasty, and they churned his body. They held one foot and then they took one leg, and there's a process which you see in the Bhagavatam in the production of King Prithu. King Prithu was, they churned the body of King Venu in some elaborate process, like you're churning butter, you churn yogurt. And then from yogurt you get this, or you from churning milk you get this solid substance called butter. So they churned his body and they produced a king. So the way it's described is that so in this way, they say that this process of churning, when you churning is called mitti. When that process, so they churned this body of this king in the Ikshvaku dynasty, they churned his body, so that process is called mitti. So the king that was produced from the churning of that body was known as Mitti Janaka. Janaka means one who is produced, or one who is born by churning. Mitti Janaka. So the man came out of that body, he was called Mitti Janaka. Jana means birth, and Janaka means
one who has taken birth by churning.
So this king, Mitti Janaka, he didn't want to be an Ayodhya because of all the prestige that the family had. So he left Ayodhya and created a separate kingdom. And that kingdom became known as Mithila. Because the Mitti Janaka created that kingdom. So the kingdom created by Mitti Janaka became known as Mithila. And all his sons, all the sons of that king, which this is long, long before Ramachandra, all the sons of that king were known as Janaka. It's like sometimes in the Western countries they have that system that the son is named after the father. And my father's name was Hari. His name was Henry. We called him Harry, like Hari. So he was Henry the Third. Then my brother was Henry the Fourth. But I was something else. Mitti Henry. So like that, this Janaka 1, Janaka 2, Janaka 3. So Janaka had a great property in his palace. The property was the bow used by Mahadev, which I mentioned, this bow or dhanur that was used in the fight between Lord Shiva and Vishnu. And somehow it was given to his dynasty. It was given, this bow of Lord Shiva that was used in the fight between Vishnu was given to one of the Janakas. It's not the original Janaka who was made from churning. But seven generations after the original Mitti Janaka, then that there was a Janaka who was called Devarata. Devarata. This king Devarata was very attractive to the devatas, so he was known as Devarata. Somehow he received Shiva's bow and he kept it in the palace as a worshipful object. Sometimes they say he kept it in the puja room. And this bow was huge. This bow of Lord Shiva was inconceivably, it was so big. To give you some idea, it would take 300 soldiers, really strong soldiers, like we don't have any like that in the temple. I can't say like Kratu or like me, or because we're little, like Kali Yuga Shudras, and our little tiny bodies. No, what kind of Kshatriya is this? So we don't have anything close to a Kshatriya in this whole room here. But anyway, these huge Kshatriyas, 300 of them, somehow they got under the bow and they moved it and they put it on a rath, on a cart. And then those same, it was so heavy, the bow, that it took those same 300 soldiers to pull on a cart with so many wheels. They pulled the bow and somehow they installed that bow in the puja room of Devarata Janaka's palace. So Janaka had a brother, and his brother had three daughters. And as you know, Janaka had one daughter named Sita. So Sita and his three daughters, they used to play together. Sita and his three daughters of Janaka's brother. So these four girls were always running around the palace and playing. So one day, they were out picking some flowers for doing puja. And the flowers are a little high in the tree, so being Kshatriya daughters, Sita Devi is very clever. So she got one stick, and on the end of the stick she put one hook there on the end of the stick. And they were reaching up and they were catching flowers for puja. It was like a game. The girls were playing this game, picking flowers. And then Sita Devi, she saw one tree that had very, very fragrant and beautiful flowers on it. So then she reached up, because they weren't very high on the tree. She reached up in the tree to pick those flowers, and she just almost got the flower. But suddenly, there was some type of mystical being living in that tree. So as she reached up to catch the flower, then the tree grew 1 foot. The tree went like that, and then the flower on the tree, it also, of course, went 1 foot, 12 inches beyond her reach. And then she got on her girlfriend's shoulders, her sister's, cousin's sister's shoulders, and then she said, "Come on, let's get that flower." And then she was about to get the flower, then the tree went up again. What kind of tree? I'm the princess. This is my kingdom, my father's kingdom of Mithila. And I want these flowers. And then they got up on top of each other, like they made like a triangle. Then she got up on the top to make even higher. Then the tree went again. And she said, it was way beyond her stick, and there was no way to get that flower. Then she thought, "Oh, I know. There's that bow. There's that big bow in the puja room. That's very long. I'll go pick that up and I'll get the flower with that." So Sita Devi, she was a young girl, maybe 5, 6, very small girl, baby girl like these little girls here. And then she went in the puja room and she picked up the bow and she went outside and she reached up and she got that flower. And she went back and put the bow in the puja room, and that was that. And some people saw this, and they said, "What?" And they couldn't believe it, that this little girl. So they ran. So some servant lady or something, she saw, she ran and she told Janak. She says, "Janak, your daughter," some nurse or something, "so your daughter, she just picked up the bow of Shiva, Mahadev's Danur. And she carried it outside, plucked the flower from the tree and put it back." And Janaka Maharaj says, "Ah, you're crazy. Go drink, put some lemons on your head or something. You should put a few lemons on your head to cool your head down. Get lost." And then some other person came, someone from the garden, the Mali came. The gardener came and said, Maharaj ki jai ho, Maharaj, your daughter just picked up Mahadev's bow." And he said, "Oh no, another crazy person. What's happening to my kingdom?" So immediately Janaka Maharaj put in an order. He said, he ordered 1,000 lemons. He ordered 1,000 lemons, nimbu, lemons. In English we say lemons. He ordered 1,000 nibu. And he said, "Bring those nibu and put them on the head of all my subjects. They're becoming crazy. They're going crazy. You have to cool them down." And then one of his ministers came. "Maharaj ki jai ho, Maharaj ki jai ho. Janaka Maharaj, your daughter just picked up Mahadev's bow, walked out, got the flower, put it back." "Really? You're my advisor, my minister, my brahminical advisor? You're telling me this? I must believe it." So he went and he saw the bow in the puja room, and he went to Sita Devi. He called her, "Did you pick up this bow?" "Oh yeah, yes, I needed, there was one flower I wanted to get for puja, so that was the longest thing available, so I did." "Acha. Oh, maybe I need some lemons. Janaka's thinking, maybe I need to put a few lemons here. What am I hearing? What's going on? And then Janaka asked the minister, how is this possible? This is 300 of our strongest soldiers that are like elephants, as strong as elephants. They can't pick up this bow, and my little girls. So the minister said, let me think about this for some time. So the minister thought about it for some time. And then he came back to Janaka Maharaj and he said, actually, in my meditation, I had one Dhyan Spurti, I had one vision, that your daughter, Sita, is actually Mahalakshmi. She is the incarnation of Mahalakshmi. So naturally she has unlimited shaktis. She's Sarva Shakti Mayi. She is strong. She can lift universes. But to speak of one insignificant bow of Shiva. So then Janaka was thinking, Acha, my daughter is Mahalakshmi? So that's what the minister said. You can see also from all her bodily features to now by showing, because they didn't really take so much notice before, but now that she displayed this extraordinary Aishwarya, this strength, then he was saying, yes, I can see she showed incredible strength lifting this bow, and her bodily features are all the features of Lakshmi, the auspicious features. So then Janaka said, well, if my daughter Sita is Lakshmi, then naturally her lord is Narayan. So now we have a problem. How will we get Narayan to marry my daughter? And then the minister said, well, there's no Narayan here. There's no Narayan here in this kingdom. How are you going to get Narayan to marry your daughter? Then Janaka came up with an idea. Anyone who can take this bow and string it will marry my daughter. This is his idea. All the ministers laughed. They said, in this way? And they said, Janak, Maharaj, if you do this, if you make this demand, then your daughter will never be married. Because there's no one in this entire world, there's no single man that can lift this bow and string it. It's impossible. And Janaka said, listen, Narayan obviously knows that Lakshmi is here. He's not going to leave her unmarried. She's not going to take woman sannyas or something like that. No, Narayan must come here. Everyone was shocked. What is this man doing? What is he saying? This is as good as just to say, to insist that Narayan must come here. This is as good as saying that his daughter will never marry. That's what the minister said. Anyway, this was going on, and then a yajna was performed. But the special feature of this yajna is that they were going to bring the bow and put the bow for darshan, Danur darshan. And all the Kshatriyas in the region would be invited to come and try. So Vishwamitra knew this. So when Vishwamitra, as we started, was bringing Ram and Lakshman back from his yajna, he said, oh, before I take you back to Ayodhya, we should stop in Mithila. There's a big yajna going there. Many rishis are there. You'll have a good fun. It's lots of fun. You'll see big yajna. You'll have a good fun. So Ram and Lakshman are thinking, great, more fun, no school. Because if he takes us back to Ayodhya, we have to go back to school. Now we've been on a nice vacation, swimming in the rivers, playing in the forest. He told us so many stories of ghosts and goblins. And a couple demons came, we threw a piece of grass. That was fun. But if we go back to Ayodhya, we have to go back to school, and we have to learn all this, so many things. You know. This is fun, we're on vacation. Chuti. Oh, I thought we were going home, and that means back to school, but we're going to Mithila to see a yajna. Oh, fun, great. So they're very excited. Vishwamitra is simply acting to move the pastimes of the Lord to their fruition, to their perfection. So then he told them, he told Vishwamitra, told Lakshman and Ram, So this is the bow that was used by Lord Shiva. That you will see, and if you want, I will take you there to see the bow. Oh yes, we want to see the bow. So then Ram and Lakshman came there, and the rest of the story is known. You know the rest of the story, but we will only explain to you the parts of the story which are not so well known. So then all the Kshatriyas came and they were examining the bow, and Janaka told Vishwamitra, "Oh, Vishwamitra, you must call your young student to come have a look at this bow." So Ramachandra came and he saw it. And Lakshman said, "Why don't you try it?" And Janaka announced, "If anyone wants to try and string this bow and receive my daughter, then please step forward." So one or two very puffed up Kshatriyas stepped forward. The first one could not lift it. And another got his hand stuck between the floor and the bow. No, he lifted the bow, but then he lifted it enough to get his hand under it. And then, "Oh, mommy!" What kind of country is that? So then somehow they got his hand out from under the bow. Then suddenly, the whole assembly became dark. Even though it was around 11 o'clock in the morning, it was in the morning time, it became like night. And the earth was shaking like an earthquake. And then they heard someone laughing very loudly. So then Janaka caught hold of Vishwamitra's hand and said, "Oh, tell me what's happening." Vishwamitra said, "This must be a demon. Very soon he will enter this assembly." And another 3 minutes went by. Then there was a flash of light, and from that blinding effulgence came Trilokeshvara, Ravana. He arranged before that the two other demons would precede him and announce, "Trilokeshvara, Ravana is coming." Everyone was scared. "Hey, what is this demon doing in our temple room? In our assembly." So then Ravana appeared. "What is this, Swayamvara? You are all spineless people. You are powerless. You can't even lift this bow. You must all certainly know who I am. I am Ravana. I have lifted Kailash with Lord Shiva sitting on the top of it. This is only his bow. This is the bow of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva, his whole family, his entire troop of Bhutas and Pretas, the whole of Kailash Mountain was lifted by me. And I flew to Lanka. That is my strength." So then everybody thought, he can easily lift the bow. So Ravana came. He put his hands on each side. And he lifted the bow. Everyone was amazed. "Oh, oh, he's lifted the bow." Then Lord Shiva in Kailash was thinking, "What's going on? I didn't leave that bow there in Janaka's kingdom for him. I left it for Lord Ram." So then, invisibly, Shiva entered inside the bow and he pressed it down. Ravana got stuck. Actually, that also happened when he lifted Kailash Mountain. When he put it down again, he got stuck under the mountain. His hand got stuck. Now he was again stuck. He was crying. And he was pleading, "Help! Mahadev! Shiva!" When a demon suffers, we should laugh.
back by the Sankirtan movement. Great. There was a play in New York once by the Vaikuntha Players. The Vaikuntha Players were Prabhupada's disciples in 1976 in the temple of the big skyscraper, as Prabhupada would say. And the devotees were, the play was called The Age of Kali. So Kali personified came out on the stage, and he was engaging everyone. Everyone around him was drinking and taking drugs and doing all kinds of sinful activities. And Kali was there, and Kali was dancing, and everyone was doing sin around him. This was the play. A very dark and terrible scene of Kali Yuga. Kali had entered, and he was creating, and Prabhupada was watching. And then, from on the way far away, the lights, very bright lights shone over there. And then a Sankirtan party came. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Like that, and they were coming out with the same melody. And then, when Kali heard the Sankirtan party, he didn't want to hear that. He didn't want to hear that kirtan. And then when Kali went like Kali personified went like this, and Prabhupada saw that, he motioned to the kirtan party, louder, chant more, chant loud. Prabhupada went, bolaye, bolaye. So they went, they chanted louder. And then Kali was saying, I can't breathe. He was suffering, and all the devotees were laughing. Because Kali was being, and Prabhupada said, more kirtan, more kirtan. So as they increased the kirtan more and more, Kali was making suffering more and more. And the devotees were laughing. And Prabhupada was laughing. And he was clapping his hands. Yes, yes, very good. Kali should be smashed. Smashed down. So it's okay if the devotees laugh when the demons are getting smashed. So, he got stuck. Ravana is stuck under the bow. He was crying. And finally Lord Shiva let go and he got his hand out. And then Ram came. But unlike Ravana, Ravana used two hands to pick up the bow. Ram came with one hand, picked up the bow with one hand. He put his foot on the other end of the bow and he took the string and he pulled it and the bow broke into two pieces. Everyone clapped their hands and flowers fell from heaven. Then, as you know, Ramachandra married Sita. And the other three girls were married, the daughters of Janaka's brother, that were the friends of Sita, cousins. They were married to Bharata, Shatrughna, and Lakshman. So, okay. So now, kind of just some other things. This is a little bit, we want to get into the fighting and what leads up to the fight. So actually, of course, you know there was a great fight between Ravana and Ram. That's very good. But first, we want to give a little biographical data about Ravana. Of course, Ravana made the biggest mistake in his life by kidnapping Sita. Ravana was a great scholar and a pundit. He was known as Shastra Gyan. He knew all Shastras. In all the Vedas, Ravana was expert. Nobody at the time of Ravana had as expert a pronunciation of Sanskrit as Ravana did. Even in the assembly of the demigods, when they held sacrifices, they would bring Ravana to chant the shlokas. How do you like that? Everyone heard that? So he makes a comment. If someone is chanting Sanskrit slokas very nicely, that does not necessarily mean he's a great devotee. Demons are also chanting Sanskrit verses. Vedaschasadaraham eva vedyo. Ravana read all the Vedas, yet due to his lust, he could not even accept that another man's wife should not be taken. Ravana's lust was exemplary. And there's a whole story about how he was doing a yajna himself, Ravana, and he invited Agnidev to come. So Agnidev came along with his wife, Swaha. And Ravana was doing this big yajna, and he was offering oblations as the demigods he invited. So Agni came with Swaha, and as soon as Ravana saw Swaha, he said, "Hell with the yajna," and he grabbed Agni's wife and ran away with her. And all the priests were saying, "Hey, Ravana, wait a minute. What about your yajna?" He said, "Forget it. This is a better yajna fall than anything." So he ran away with Agni's wife, Swaha. So this was he was very expert at stealing the wives of demigods and other people. So now the question is, what made Ravana a demon? Of course, we already told you it was uncontrollable lust. But at any rate, so Ravana knew all these different mantras, but why was he a demon? He was the son of Vishravas. He is a Brahmin. He is not a Kshatriya. He is the grandson of Brahma and a very learned pundit. But still, he is a demon. What makes Ravana a demon? He's a demon because he does not accept that the Supreme Lord is the enjoyer, the controller, and the friend of everyone. Bhagavad Gita 5:20. He knows all the Vedas. Ravana studied all the Vedas. He knows all the shlokas. But he hasn't realized Bhagavad Gita chapter 5, verse 29. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarva loka maheshram suridam savadeham bhutanam gyatvamam shantarichati. He doesn't realize this. Because he was not accepting the sovereignty of the Supreme Lord, Ravana was thinking, "I am the Lord." That is why he called himself Trilokeshvara Ravana. Trilokeshvara, as you know, means the controller of the three worlds. That was his desire. That was his ambition. Even though he couldn't control the common cold, he wanted to control the three worlds, but he couldn't control a flu. You know, a flu, the nose gets stuffed up, you get a fever. So Ravana, like any mortal being, he would also get vyadi, janma mritu jya vyadi, he would also get sick. So he wants to control the three worlds, but he can't even keep himself from getting the flu. Like anyone else, the biggest kings, the biggest controllers, they also get sick. So Ravana, in any case, Ravana received so many curses, so many people cursed him. He was also cursed by one sage that a monkey would come and burn his city. And he was also cursed that a monkey would spit on his face. That was Sugriva. And he would be killed by human beings who were surrounded by monkeys. This was all predicted. So Ravana knew this. This was like his Bhrigu Samhita. Bhrigu Samhita, you know about the future and the past. So he knew. He already knew. It was not a surprise. I will be killed by this, in this situation. So even though Ravana had 10 brains, he could not accept this because of his lust. Ravana did not carry 10 heads all the time. If he lost one head, another head would come. And if he lost that head, the previous one will come back again. Why? Because he kept his life point somewhere else. He didn't keep it in his body. He did not keep his life point in the neck or the chest. This was one of the tricks of the lizard. Tricks of the demons. They would keep their life point somewhere else. They may keep their life point in a bird, in a lizard, or a lotus flower. And from there, they extend their power. If you killed his body or slashed him or did anything to him, he would not die because his life was being kept somewhere else. So these heads on Ravana's body were coming whenever one was removed. And these 10 heads possessed 10 kinds of intelligence. That was a benediction he got from Brahma. One of Ravana's heads was expert in politics. One head was expert in Vedic Dharma. One in administration. One head was expert in how to enjoy. Another was expert in making travel plans. Well, that's good. He had a built-in travel agent. One head was a travel agent. In this way, when he was going to take Sita, he consulted all the 10 heads. 9 heads refused. 9 of Ravana's heads refused to his proposal to kidnap Sita. They said, no, don't kidnap Sita. Only one of his heads refused to listen to that instruction. So although Ravana had so many powerful things and so many mystic powers, by exploiting the property of the Supreme Lord, Ravana met his death. And so, now, as you know, Ravana, of course, he disguised himself as a Vairagi, and he kidnapped Sita. Then Ram was searching everywhere for Sita. Then he met Hanuman, and then everyone was helping him look for Sita. He looked everywhere, but he couldn't find Sita. This is Hanuman. Hanuman has jumped across the ocean, and he's landed in Lanka, and he's toured the palace, and he's seen all the drunken queens, and they've seen Ravana. He searched, and he couldn't find Sita. So then he was on his way back, and he was thinking, "Oh my, what? How can I return? I haven't found Sita." So before he returned to the ocean, he thought, "There's a garden there. I see one garden that I haven't actually looked in. And I see in that garden, there's some huge Ashok trees." So Hanuman was lost in reverie. He was thinking, yes, and Panchvati, Ram, he told me when he was in Panchvati that Sita Devi was staying up, they were staying under some Ashok trees. And after Ravana kidnapped Sita, Lord Ram was feeling so much separation, so much unhappiness, and crying and crying. And that Ram, he went to those Ashok trees. And he was embracing those Ashok trees in Panchvati. And he was crying, "Oh Ashok trees, you're standing right here. You're standing right here. This is right, and this is right below you. This is where Sita was kidnapped by some demon. You saw everything. Please." And Ram was crying, and he was praying. Ram was praying to these Ashok trees. "Please tell me. Please speak to me. Tell me who has taken my queen. Who has taken my Sita? My Pranavallava, the beloved of my life. Who has taken my Sita?" So Hanuman remembered how Ram was telling him that he was crying and praying even to the trees. He was praying to the trees to, "Please tell me, where is Sita? Where is Sita?" So when Hanuman saw those Ashok trees, he remembered that. He said, "Oh, there were Ashok trees there. There's Ashok trees here. Possibly, maybe Sita is there in that Ashokvan. And maybe Sita is also, maybe she's also crying out to those Ashok trees to, please communicate to your brother Ashok trees in Panchvati that I'm here and my Ram will somehow come and save me. So maybe Sita is also there." So then, in one leap, Hanuman jumped and he landed on a big Ashok tree. When he looked down, to the surprise of Hanuman, he saw right below the tree a beautiful queen who was Mother Sita. She was sitting there with Vibhishana's daughter, Trijata was trying to console her and pacify Sita Devi. Then Trijata told a dream. She told Sita, "I had a dream last night. I had a dream that Ravana was smearing oil all over his body. And he was drinking oil with two hands. He was drinking oil. And he was sitting on a chariot driven by monkeys. This chariot was being driven through the southern side. This means he will die. I also saw that Sri Lanka was burning and a monkey was flying over. I also saw Ramchandra was sitting in the coronation with you. So don't lose faith. Don't give up your body. One day or other or another, Ramchandra will come here." Hanuman was listening to all this and he became so happy. Then suddenly Ravana entered the Ashokvan and he started preaching to Mother Sita, or at least not preaching, but it says preaching, but started speaking to her. You must marry me. Never! Then he said to the Ravana said to the demonesses, the Asuris, Rakshashis. He said to the Rakshashis, kill her if she won't listen to your advice. Then the demonesses were preaching to her. That's what he said. The demonesses were preaching to her. And when she wouldn't listen, they decided, we will kill her. Exactly at that point, Hanuman jumped. Hanuman jumped on the ground. And when the Rakshashis saw this monkey jumping, they fled this way and that. Sita looked at him and she said, Ravana, you can take any form you want, but I'm not going to be attracted to you. Hanuman said, wait, I'm not Ravana. I'm a servant of Ram. And I have come here to serve you. Sita said, I don't believe it. If you are from Ram, how did you cross the ocean? Hanuman said, oh, that's very interesting. I grew big. You grew big? How can monkeys grow big? Hanuman said, grow big. Hanuman said, I will show you. Then he grew and he grew and he grew and he... And in a minute, in a second, he was touching the sky and the clouds. Sita got very scared. Oh no, maybe this is another demon. Oh, you can imagine, it's only natural. Who wouldn't think like that? But there was something strange about this monkey. While he was growing and growing, he was chanting, Ram, 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 Ram. And then Sita was thinking, this could not be Ravana. He would not chant so many Ram Nams. It's not possible. He can't be a demon. Then Hanuman reduced his form. He said, listen, I have some proof that I am coming from Ramachandra. Here is his ring. Then Hanuman talked with Mother Sita, and then she gave him her chudamani, her hair ornament. Okay, read a little bit about the battle. In the area of Mahipuri, Nila, the engineer of the Vanara army, reconstructed a city. This is Mahiravana's city. Mahiravana's nephew, oh, that's the one that says come out and go in. They would eat rishis or something like that, and then they would call him out of their belly or something. Mahi and Ahi or something. I heard that. So anyway, the war was different. This war between Ravana and Ram was different than Kurukshetra. Day and night the fighting was going on. Demons are very powerful after sunset. And a lot of damage was done to the monkey army. Especially when Indrajit came on the battlefield and then Kumbhakarna came. The monkey suffered a lot. Indrajit used a lot of illusory techniques by becoming invisible. At one point, he made Ram and Lakshman unconscious with his Pashupat Astra. Then on the advice of one of the great doctors of the Vanara army and Vibhushana, Hanuman flew to the Himalayas and brought back the Pushpa Sanjeevani mountain. Of course, you know that story. The fight was going on and everyone had very powerful weapons. Indrajit had a benediction that he would be killed. Only while he was performing a sacrifice, can someone stop him? So because Indrajit was very powerful, he was thinking, who would dare stop me while I'm performing a sacrifice? In between the war, he disappeared and went to a secret place to perform a sacrifice. The Bhishana knew, and he brought Hanuman and Angada here. They contaminated the sacrifice. They acted like monkeys. They acted like monkeys and contaminated the sacrifice. And they pulled him out. And there was a big fight. And then finally, Lakshman killed Indrajit. One by one, everyone was killed. And only Ravana was left. The demigods helped a lot in the war. Indra sent his chariot and driver Matali. And Ramachandra was using Indra's chariot. Ram broke Ravana's chariot. He killed his charioteer and his horses, broke his bow, broke his club and flag, and he said, "All right, Ravana, I will give you some time. You go today, and you come back tomorrow, and you make the good decision of giving Sita back to me. If you do that, everyone who is dead will come back to life. You will get all your opulences back, as if nothing ever happened. People will forget everything, will forget what they knew of you, and you will be known again as a noble, famous king. I will go back to Ayodhya, and you and I will have a good friendship." Ravana felt that these words of Ram were a great insult. He felt a great insult that Ram didn't kill him on the spot. So he went back to his palace. Then he remembered that Lord Shiva told him, "If you ever get in danger, you must call me. I will save you." There is a Veena known as the Rudra Veena. This is a personal instrument of Lord Rudra, Shiva. That was lying with Ravana. Ravana took that Veena and he started singing prayers in praise of Lord Shiva. Ravana Veena. Like we have Narada Muni. Ravana Rakshasa. So he played his Veena, like there's a song by Bhaktivinod. Narada Muni Bhajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Name. Right? Narada Muni Bhajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Name. That he is playing with his Veena, and his Veena is singing Radhika Raman, Radhika Raman. So Ravana picked up his Rudra Veena and he started singing Bam Bam Bole, Shankar Bhagavan Ki, and all songs Shiva Sangeet. Ashutosh, Lord Shiva is easily pleased. He immediately came before Ravana and said, "Why did you call me?" Ravana said, "My life is in danger." Shiva said, "How is your life in danger? You tell me." Ravana said, "Well, I took the wife of the son of Dasarath, and he came here with his monkey army, and they have killed everybody. Even Kumbhakarna, Indrajit, everyone is gone. I'm the only one left. And that king insulted me by telling me, 'You go. I won't kill you today. Come back tomorrow.' So over and above everything, I'm insulted, Mahadev. Please save my prestige and my life." Lord Shiva said, "Yes, I must save your life. I will save your life. Here, I'm saving your life. Give Sita back." Shiva told Ravana, "Give back Sita." Ravana said, "No! Oh, the same thing again. You're cheating me. You promised me you would save my life, but you're not doing it." Shiva said, "No, I am saving your life. Did I say that to save your life I would go and fight with someone? I have my own method of saving your life. Please take my good advice. Give back Sita, everything will be wonderful." Ravana said, "No, I expected that you would go and fight with Ram and finish him off." Shiva said, "I don't mind. I can go and fight with Ram, but I will be finished." Ravana said, "No, I'm not going to give back Sita." Lord Shiva said, "All right, then you will die. Who can protect you?" Then the next day, Ravana came before Ramchandra. When he came, Ramachandra was standing there holding his bow. Even to carry that bow was very difficult. It was much, much bigger than the body of Lord Ram and very heavy. Lord Ram used to hold that bow as if like he was holding a piece of grass. It was bigger than him, it was a huge bow. Like it was a piece of, as light as a piece of grass. When Ravana came, he saw Ram and he folded his hands. Ravana came before Ram and he folded his hands. Anjali. Vibhishana and Lakshman, when they saw that, they said, "Jai! Finally! He's surrendering!" Then the next moment, Ravana said, "What am I doing? No, I'm here to fight with you." Then Ram fired his arrow and he finished Ravana. So, that's the end of Ravana. Ramachandra ki! Srila Prabhupada ki!